Father, we thank you not only for your good gift of the resurrection of Jesus, but now, too, for the good gift of your Bible. For thousands of years, it has guided, it has provoked, it has challenged, it has stirred, it has confronted, it has loved, and it has been tender, and it has been tough. And Lord, we pray that you, in the next few moments, would do whatever piece of that in our lives that you think important and necessary. We say, we confess that some of us come feeling a little jaded, a little cynical. Some of us come feeling sad. Some of us come feeling hopeful. And we bring all of that to you and ask that you would love us in the midst of wherever we are. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we say amen. Rhonda has a new boyfriend. And this new boyfriend makes Rhonda alive. When he calls, you hear the little flutter in her voice. When they touch, she feels kind of electric charges all over. When they see a movie together, they cuddle up on the couch and everything is wonderful. She is enamored. She tells anyone who listens, I love this man. He is the one. He is unlike any other boyfriend I ever have had. He is amazing. And all those who see her think, oh, they are really in love. This is the real thing. All those who see her except those who've known Rhonda for a long time. You see, the deal is, Rhonda always has a new boyfriend. One boyfriend comes and she's enamored and it's electric and it's wonderful. Then he kind of slips into the background. And it's not a week or 2 weeks before she has another new boyfriend. And he's wonderful and he's electric and he's amazing. And then it's not 3 months. And then he slips away and she has a third new boyfriend. And that's wonderful and that's unbelievable. And so while folks who don't know Rhonda look and say, oh, isn't that sweet? Those who know Rhonda well say, Rhonda always has a new boyfriend. It's one new boyfriend after another. That's Rhonda. And then there's Steve. Steve has an eye on the people in his neighborhood. He always has his eye on something. When Steve was a younger man, he had his eye on fashion. And when Birkenstock sandals and kind of socks, that kind of combination of sock sandals were cool, he did that. When leisure suits were cool, he wished he would have done it, but he was too young. When the new three-piece suits came out, he had those. And then there's a new trend with jeans, and then he has those. And he always has his eye on the fashions, what's coming out, so he can be like that and kind of be kind of trippy and on the edge. He keeps his eye on cars, and when Suburbans were cool, he had a Suburban. And then when Miata sports cars were cool, he had a Miata. And then when electric became the vibe, he got electric. And now he's afraid he may miss the boat because it's all about scooters and mass transportation. But he has an eye on the trends that are going on. When it comes to electronics, he always has the latest gadget because he doesn't want to be left behind. He's always has his eye. He's thinking about fashions, and he's thinking about electronics, and he's thinking about transportation. He's always looking at something and often acting. That's Steve. And then there's Calvin. Calvin Jarrett in the book Ordinary People hears of folks who say, I'm the kind of man who follows his favorite football team. And he hears about a person who says, I'm the kind of man who does his work even when that work is difficult. He hears of someone who says, I'm the kind of man who sticks with his family even when his family is very difficult to stick with. And he tries these different things on. He tries to be the man who follows his favorite football team. He tries to be the man who sticks with work. He tries to be the man who's devoted to his family. And he doesn't seem to last at any of them. And finally he says, I'm the kind of man who has no idea what kind of man I am. Sort of reminds you of Madonna on some level, who lost her virginity as a career move. And then Britney Spears, who kept hers as a career move, only to lose hers later as a possible career move. There are people who are always trying to keep up, people who are in motion, people who have an eye on things, people who are enamored by things and then follow what they're enamored by. Any of you remember the old television show Cheers with Cliff Clavin? John Ratzenberger, is that his name? John tried out really for the Norm character, if you know this, and he failed. And so before he walked out, he said, have you ever thought about having sort of a bar know-it-all as part of it? And they loved the idea, and he became the bar know-it-all. He would spout all kinds of information. But what you notice, if you ever watch one of those reruns, I'm not necessarily recommending it, but if you do, everyone around that bar, they are all, in a sense, lightweights. They are all chasing something. They're all moving. None of them are really people of substance. I love the tune. You want to go where everybody knows your name and they've always glad you came. Should I sing it? No, I won't. Okay. Or maybe you remember the old westerns? You remember the old westerns? The westerns in the 50s, and now they're kind of westerns of space. That became cool. They're called Star Wars, right? But the old westerns would always have the multiple, you could almost predict who was going to be in an old western, the sheriff. Matt Dillon, who comes into town, you know, kind of walking like this. And then there'd be the bartender, you know, kind of polishing the glasses and taking care of everybody. And then the lady of the town who would come in with trusses, you know, and she would come in. And almost every western also had a drifter. The drifter was sort of an essential part of the western. He would kind of, well, drift. He would come into town and then he'd be gone, right? He would be there for a little while and then he'd move on. Someone talks about those kinds of folks. Someone says this, blessed is the person, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who does not walk in the way of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But their delight is on the law of the Lord, and on that law they meditate day and night. They are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Everything whose leaf does not wither, everything they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff, which the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. It will drift away. Along 12 years or so ago, there was a movie called Notting Hill. And Notting Hill had Julia Roberts in it as... She was really playing herself. She was a starlet who was wildly popular and attractive and famous as a movie star. And then there was Hugh Grant, who was not playing himself. He was playing sort of a shy, awkward British bookstore operator. And it came through the story. There was love interest that would come and a love interest that would go, especially for Julia Roberts. Hugh didn't have any because he was playing this shy, awkward guy. But at the end of the movie, there's a scene where Julia Roberts says, really, fame is all emptiness and vanity. It's like saying fame is all chaff, which the wind blows away. There's a way to live, is what the psalm is saying, where life is motion. Life is an eye on what's going on. Life is about trends. Life is about keeping up with someone, the Joneses, with attraction, with fashion, with mechanics, with all kinds of things. Life is about keeping up. But the psalm says there's another way to live. And the image of that second way to live isn't being blown away or tumbling away or drifting. The image of that is, well, there's two images. There's a small image at the beginning. It says, they're the people who meditate on the law. The word meditate is a murmur. It's to muse. Have you ever seen a dog with a bone? Arr, 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 arr. We have a Cocker Spaniel, and I think he's so close to the verge of human speech so often. It just looks so often like he's going to bust out in complete grammatically correct sentences, but then he'll get a bone of something like that. And he can go for days. I was told a story about a dog who lived in a cabin in Montana, and he would go out and he'd find some old deer elk bone and he'd drag it on the porch, kind of like, look what I've done. And then he would just bring it a little further out and he would just gnaw on that thing for days. That's the picture in this psalm, is that the planted person is someone who gnaws and who enjoys and who delights in the word of the Lord. On that law, he meditates, she meditates, she gnaws, she delights, all day long. That's the image. And then there's another image, which is kind of one of the big images of the psalm, which is this alternate lifestyle is like a tree. And then there's the verb, right? The tree is planted. It's rooted. It doesn't move. The tree bears fruit. It takes the water and nutrients and whatever's going on and makes something helpful out of it. The tree is unwithered. No matter what's going on around it, the tree isn't swayed by the temperatures in the room. The tree isn't swayed by fashions. The tree is planted. It's rooted. It bears fruit. It is unwithered. And the psalmist goes on to say, everything it does prospers, which is a pretty big thing to say. Have you ever been to the redwoods? Or you've seen a redwood, maybe you've seen a redwood in Lincoln or Rockland or Roseville or something. Just kind of, you drive along, there's one redwood. Right? There's all these little baby trees around it, and then there's a redwood. Maybe the redwood is only 15 or 20 or 25 years old, but you think, someday that's going to be really big. That redwood could last 1,000 years. That redwood, or someone could come and have to, because the driveway's buckling, take it out. But the thing could last 1,000 years, the redwood. Or maybe you've been to Redwood National Park, and you've seen groves of redwoods. You know, you drive there, and there's music on the way, and there's NASCAR you're listening to, and there's trends, and there's fashions. And then you go into Redwood National Park, and it's just like, poof, all of that disappears. And suddenly, this image of, he's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Everything it does prospers. You have the sense of someone who's in place. It's almost by definition that the wicked is in motion, that is restless, is, and it's almost by definition that the righteous person is planted, is puts down roots, and doesn't move easily. Redwood trees create their own atmosphere. Do you know that? They create their own weather, in a sense, where they stay in place. I say all that because here on Granite Springs' anniversary or birthday or whatever we're calling it, there are, in our congregation, redwood trees. Now, we didn't start 20 years ago with any redwoods. Jerry and I were 30-something, barely. Our kids were, well, we had one. Folks who came were pretty new to this whole Christianity thing on the whole, very new to it. Half weren't even convinced they were on the inside of this thing, and they helped start a church, which is sort of a miracle all by itself, isn't it? But over the years, what's amazing is there's so many folks who were still in process, but there are now redwood trees. There are people who have put their roots down and said, I'm going to bear fruit. I'm going to not wither. I'm going to go to the source, and I'm going to make that. I'm not going to drift and say, is it in fashion? Is it out of fashion? But I'm going to stay here, and here's where I'm going to stay. There's this image of the gnawing on the bone. There's this image of the redwood tree. There's this word that Psalm 1 introduces, which becomes a favorite word of the Psalter. It's the word tzaddik. It's the Hebrew for righteous. The way of the tzaddik will be like this. The tzaddik person meditates on the law of the Lord, the Torah, and on that law they meditate. By the way, the Torah, it sounds, if you're kind of new to this whole thing, it sounds like weird and rules, and who wants to meditate on rules and memorize rules? But the Torah is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Genesis is the story of the creation of the world. He meditates on that. God made it, and it is good. He meditates on sin. You know, Noah has to escape. He meditates on it. God calls out Abraham from this dark world. What's it like to live with a calling? He meditates on that. We've been studying Exodus, this leaving slavery and becoming brand new, free, non-slave, non-grumbling kind of people. We meditate on all those kinds of things. But a tzaddik becomes this person in the Bible that we all want to be. And so Psalm 1 starts by saying, don't you want to be a tzaddik? You say, well, who's a tzaddik in the Bible? Well, Noah's a tzaddik. The whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. And God says, but Noah is a righteous person. He's a tzaddik person. And I'll rebuild things around Noah. In the Proverbs and Psalms, it keeps saying, you want to be a tzaddik, the Psalms keep saying over and over and over again. Maybe you've heard it in the Christmas story. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came to be. His mother Mary was betrothed to a man named Joseph when she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That's a problem, right? Pregnancy of an unwed mother in a small town in Palestine in the first century. That's how you spell problem, right? But because Joseph was a tzaddik, because he was a righteous man, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. How does a tzaddik act? When a tzaddik meets a pregnant single mom, when it's embarrassing to be a pregnant single mom and there's no resources but only shame, he treats her gently. And he treats her with respect. And he treats her with kindness. That's what a tzaddik does. And the Torah goes on to explain what it means to be a tzaddik. A tzaddik is someone who doesn't harvest the whole field, squeeze out the maximum profit. A tzaddik leaves the corners so that when poor folks come, they have a place to harvest and to eat. So when aliens and immigrants come, they have a place to harvest and to eat. That's what a tzaddik does. When a tzaddik makes a pledge with you and you say, I'll have your plow back by tonight and here's my cloak in exchange. Well, the cloak would be something you'd wear to keep warm. It was also your blanket. It was also your bed sheets. Well, tzaddik, even if you haven't returned the plow at the end of the night, the tzaddik will return your outer garment because a tzaddik knows you need that to sleep. A tzaddik is by definition generous. A tzaddik doesn't have everything turned in on themselves. A tzaddik is plowing back his resources, plowing back her wisdom and her talents into the community so the whole community can flourish. That's what a tzaddik does. Sometimes if you've only been here maybe a year or 2 years or 5 years or 7 years, I say only, you look at this building and you think, well, how did this build? Who wrote the check for this? It was a lot of people with modest means, who did. They were on their way to being tzaddiks, to being righteous people. I remember that there was a young woman who was going off to college, 18 years old, and she drove into the old warehouse, and she said, Pastor Kevin, she's a high school senior, she's off to go to college, she's babysitting money. She says, I've heard about the church, we're going to build this new building, I want it to be cool, and so here's a check from my own personal account. That's pretty impressive, right? I didn't think it was polite to look then, so I looked later. I looked when no one was looking. I don't know if that's fair, but you can decide later. It was a $500 check from this young 18-year-old gal, right? And that's just one story. I could tell you stories about young families who gave literally tens of thousands of dollars over years. Tens of thousands. I can tell you stories about people who said, I'm not just going to give 10% of my income, but for the next 4 years to buy the land and then to build the building, I'm going to give 20% of my income to this. I mean, that's tzaddik. That's by definition what it means to plow back into your community and into people around you from what the Lord has given. Now, how do you know the difference between, let's say there's two ways. The Psalter starts, right, someone. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the way of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. Because that's one way to live. But their delight, is in the law of the Lord. And on that law, day and night, they meditate, they chew, they gnaw, they delight. How do you know if you're the one who sort of drifts or the one who is planted? Well, it's the wind, right? It's when the wind comes that you know, are you chaff or are you becoming a tree? Because when the wind comes, the chaff leaves the stage, right? It drifts on to the next trend in fashion or electronics or relationships or marriage or whatever. That's what chaff does. But the righteous one puts down roots and bears fruit and flourishes and helps all of those around them flourish. And it's a thing of beauty. You know, really, this Grant Springs, we have talked about this property in all kinds of ways, but one way to think about it this morning is as kind of a grove of redwood trees. You know, there are people here who are tzaddik, not perfect, but tzaddik, you can count on, you can depend on them. They give life to the people around them, and it's a thing of beauty. Paul, at the end of Romans 16, called them his pillar people, and he lists them by name. I didn't want to embarrass people, so I'm not going to list you by name today, but it's amazing. Now, I wondered if there'd be two reactions to this message at this point. One group would be like, I've never thought about it. How cool is it? Maybe I'm a tzaddik. Maybe I'm a tree. How cool is that? And I want you to know, it's very, very cool. It's amazing, I think, in a world. And I wondered if there might be another group of people who say, I'm afraid I might be more like chaff. You know, I'm afraid I might be more like, I'm not the sheriff in the Western. I don't think I'm the one with the tresses. Maybe I'm the drifter. I drift from here to there and the next place, and I haven't put down roots. What about that? Well, what about that? Is there hope for such a person? If you're feeling that way, or if you might know someone who feels that way. The image of a tree planted is of a tree replanted. Israel has these flash floods, and when it rains in Jerusalem, the leftover water kind of spills into the Judean hillsides, and all of a sudden it's a desert. It looks like Nevada after a 10-year drought is what it looks like, and all of a sudden the water rushes down the valley, and there's a sudden influx of water. Well, can a tree live on that? No, but a tree can get started. But the image of the psalm is to take it from that wadi, to take the tree out and to plant it by a stream of water so it will always have something to grow on. The image of the psalm is as if God has taken us, tempted to be drifters, tempted to give up, people who have in fact given up, and no matter if we're 12 or if we're 25 or if we're 87, he replants us by the streams of water, and he says, now, become a tree. Start today and become a tree. There's this beautiful passage in Romans where it talks about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And it's so good, I'm going to quote it exactly right. Romans chapter 5. You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Isn't that amazing? Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't tzaddiks, and he said, I'm going to give him a boost. We were sinners, we were chaff, and he died for us. And then Romans 5, verse 19 actually. For just as through the disobedience of one man, that's Adam, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, that's Jesus, we will all be made tzaddik. We will all be righteous. We will all be like trees planted by streams of water, which yields our fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Everything we do prospers, not because of us, but because of the one who died and rose from the dead. That, my friends, I think, is very good news. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the way you come to us in Jesus. While some of us are chaff and others of us would describe ourselves as sinners and others of us just haven't made up our mind, others of us think we might be on the way to being trees, but we know we can't do it on our own strength. All of us, Lord, we come to you and we revel in this good news that you in Jesus make us tzaddik, you make us righteous, and we say thank you, and we pledge you our love. In the name of Jesus, amen.